Welcome, everybody, to this month's episode of The Storyboard. We're back. I know you missed us. Tonight, we're going to do our normal beginning of the month shenanigans. We're going to talk about some things, tell you some things, ask each other some questions, maybe mention a movie or a television two, tell you what movies we're thinking about watching this month. What you might want to watch to prep for our episodes that are going to come out the last three Mondays of this month. We're actually doing a kind of fun month because the other ones have been so not fun.
last month was pretty fun.
No, they've all been fun. No, we decided to pursue one of a genre that is near and dear to my heart. The con man movie. So we're going to do three movies this month. And we are going to start with the 1973 classic with Robert Redford and Paul Newman, The Sting. And then we're going to move in and go back to our absurdist roots, and invoke Nick Cage again with Matchstick Men. And then we're going to close out our month with a con man film that is kind of forgotten and not talked about a whole lot, but is very much beloved and that we both like, called Catch Me If You Can, the 2002 Steven Spielberg movie with Leonardo DiCaprio and not Robert De Niro, but nope. Tom Hanks.
Yes, that is correct. And we promise we are doing those three movies and not conning you. I had that thought where you're like, what if we announced like four different movies in con month and then like, and then did different ones. Yeah. So tell us the dates that those are releasing again on, Brett.
I didn't tell you the first time. So it's the 16th, the 23rd, and we will release Catch Me If You Can on Memorial Day, which is the 30th of May.
And breaking news that was true. Nice. Good work. I didn't catch that. Breaking news, that will end season 5 of Movies in the Buff. We're going to call it a season. Catch Me If You Can will be our 150th full-length episode. So
crushing it.
We felt good ending season 5 at 150.
On a nice round number.
That's right. That's right. And we will most likely, probably, maybe do a little summer movie marathon as we have done in the past, but we will let you all know that when more details come about, AKA when we have,
we're keeping those under wraps right now.
Yeah, definitely. We definitely know.
We're still in development.
Yeah. Oh man. Okay. Let's get to some news. What do you think?
Sure.
Cool. So this is our unofficial next segment.
where we talk about things.
Where we talk about some stuff. So I want to just run down a couple of headlines that might have been missed or things that I'm excited about. And that is all pertaining to CinemaCon that happened this past week.
Yep. You're going to steal all of my news. Way to go.
No, I promise I probably won't. I'm doing just like, well, maybe. We'll see. We'll see. Might be the shortest news segment ever. I just wanted to call out a couple of things, and I'm not going to be going in depth to any of them, really. So if you have more to add, please do. Sure. There were several clips and previews and whatnot that were shown at CinemaCon, and I just want to run down a couple that I'm excited for. John Wick Chapter 4 was shown.
Nunchucks.
Keanu Reeves with nunchucks, absolutely. and holy cow, I actually didn't watch it because I'm trying to like stay away from as much of the previews and trailers as anymore.
I just saw a still with him with nunchucks.
Yeah, right. That's what I saw.
Yeah.
And it's cool. It's going to be set in Tokyo, or at least the trailer set opens in Tokyo. And Lawrence Fishburne and the Bowery King does return.
Nice.
And so very briefly, I guess, from this article that I'm reading right now, the trailer opens on John Wick training in a gym and Lawrence Fishburne's Bowery King enters. Are you ready, John?
Yeah, it's a new day.
New bull is in town. Oh no, this is still, sorry, this is still Lawrence Fishburne. Yeah, it's a new day. New bullies in town. What's John to do? I'm going to kill them all. So, I'm in. Let's go.
So, it's essentially the scene from The Matrix.
Exactly. It's exactly right. That's the only reason I wanted to bring that up. I was like, holy shit, it's just the scene from The Matrix. Which, great.
Yeah, let's do it. Guns. We like those movies.
Yes.
John Wick movies are wildly entertaining.
Hell yeah. Borderlands dropped its first footage as well. Borderlands is a beloved video game and has a stellar cast. So that should be pretty fun. I'm looking forward to that as more development happens. And of course, Avatar 2, released some footage. And everything that anyone has said is just talking about how visually dazzling it is, how visually stunning, which of course we knew it was going to be. But this is like, it's crazy to think that the first Avatar was 10 years ago.
It was more than that.
Maybe it is, but it's either way, 10 over 10 years. Like, that's crazy that we're like now going to be getting like five more or whatever we're going to be getting. So it is. And The name has been released as Avatar: The Way of Water.
Gotcha. Yeah, Avatar was released in 2009.
Wow. That's crazy. So we're going to be going on almost 15 years by the time it comes out. Although it's coming out this
year. I was like, I'm certain I was in college when that got released.
Yeah, that's right. That's so true. We got more deeper looks at the film Lightyear.
Okay. Which I'm... Yep.
Interested in. I'll definitely see it. I'm curious about it. I don't know how I feel about it in these early stages that, you know, you're not getting Tim Allen as the voice and like, do we really need it? I don't know. Maybe it'll be awesome.
Yeah. I don't know.
A lot of the like the first trailers that were released before CinemaCon looks like they're just pulling straight from Star Wars. Like, there is legit a shot where there's like a spaceship in a bog that's sinking into water, and it's all, I'm like, that's just the fucking Yoda planet when Luke goes to meet Yoda. It's the exact same shot, and it's Disney, and so I'm sure there's going to be a lot of those type of references in it. But I'm holding out hope that it's going to be good. It looks visually beautiful. Like, the colors and everything look great, but we'll see.
Yeah, I'm not sure how I feel about it either.
Yeah. Yeah. We also got some footage for Aquaman 2, which is Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom, and as well as Shazam 2, Shazam Fury of the Gods, and Black Adam got some footage as well, all of those are in the DC universe. Shazam and Black Adam are more linked, and The Rock is playing Black Adam in that. And then we got some more like flash footage and whatnot, which I'm pretty nervous about. I think that's not going to be very good. And then lastly, I'll just keep it with the blockbusters. We got Jurassic World Dominion footage in with that too. So, some good stuff that looks exciting, you know, getting people back into...
I feel like you're missing the biggest one.
Doctor Strange?
No, Top Gun.
Oh. Oh, yeah, Top Gun got like a full movie, like people got to see the whole movie.
A press screening, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so there's a press screening of Top Gun. The buzz is excellent. It was overheard that it is exactly everything you could want a Top Gun sequel to be. And apparently it is very compelling. At least that is what the rumor on the street is. Obviously reviews can't be published yet. Yeah. It'll be debuting at Cannes later this month. And then full release on Memorial Day weekend, from my understanding.
Yeah. I saw, like, I went to go see a movie recently and I can't remember which one it was now at this point, but it was in like the Dolby Cinema Theater in the AMC, whatever. And it was like, special look with at Top Gun 2 with Tom Cruise or whatever, and they gave like a little 3-minute behind the scenes thing. But it was cool because they actually have the actors flying in the jets and the cameras in on them. So the actors are basically like directing themselves in these jet scenes. And so like it is fucking real. Like they act like Miles Teller is fucking like flying in an F-16 doing loop-de-loops and everything.
Stupid.
I know. Well, it's because Tom Cruise leading the charge. We all know Tom Cruise and space movie and all those Mission Impossible movies. I think the next Mission Impossible got its name too at CinemaCon, but I can't remember what it.
I can't remember either. I don't have it. The seventh one.
Yeah.
But yeah, you covered the bases pretty well from all the news that we got. But I am stoked for Top Gun. I love that original movie. So I'm excited to see that later this month.
Hell yeah. Yeah, it's going to be good. It's going to be good.
I did see a movie that has been released exclusively in theaters that is action oriented.
Okay.
From a studio that does bet on independent artists and is well funded, and which that studio is A24, and the movie of course is what we talked about last month, Everything Everywhere All at Once. A movie by the Daniels, who made the Swiss Army Man movie. And have also been notorious for a variety of commercials and music videos.
Mm-hmm. Namely, Turned Down for What?
Turned Down for What? Correct. That is correct.
Yeah, I was like, they did that music video? Really? Yeah. That one? That's the one that they... Okay. Cool.
Yep. So yes, I saw that movie. And obviously I really enjoyed it. I thought it was very inventive. I saw it in an old one screen theater.
Nice.
I always, you know, I like finding those kind of like independent theaters every once in a while. And mm-hmm. you know, obviously I do like seeing things in a big multiplex, especially when I can see Dune and IMAX on the biggest screen in America.
Yeah, right. yes.
But I really, really, really enjoyed it. And I just thought it was really, really inventive. I thought it was funny. I thought it was true to who those movie makers are as humans. I also thought the movie had a fair bit of... like sincerity and earnestness and heart in it that could be a little cheap maybe. But I thought it was relatively clever. There are some preposterous bits in that movie. including fights with objects that you just can't even imagine.
Yeah.
I was surprised how martial arts focused the movie was. Mm-hmm. I did not necessarily anticipate how much hand-to-hand combat there was going to be.
Yeah.
But Michelle Yeoh is really, really great in it. And I mean, we have, there are, you know, tons of actors in that movie that have been all, you know, all over, and they've all, you know, they're all like, they were all genre movie actors in the 80s, and like mm-hmm.
And Jamie Lee Curtis plays,
genre movie actor from the 80s,
yep,
or 70s and 80s, right?
70s with Halloween.
When Halloween was 70s?
Yeah, 70s and 80s.
Okay. Yeah.
And the guy who plays Michelle Yeoh's husband is the guy who played Short Round in Indiana Jones.
Yeah, and the Goonies. And
the Goonies, yeah. And he's been a fight choreographer for that long. But this is his first major movie since fucking Indiana Jones. And he's good.
Yeah, he is. And he was giving an interview about this movie recently and was kind of said, like, it wasn't really his choice to leave acting. It was after he kind of grew out of those kid roles, people just wanted him to be the, you know, pretty racist Asian kid. And once he hit puberty or whatever, he wasn't getting auditions anymore. And so he kind of left.
Wow.
And went behind the camera, right? And then the story that he was telling was that he saw Crazy Rich Asians.
Mm-hmm.
And was, you know, got a pang of like, oh, I want to be a part of that. I want to do that again type thing.
Wow.
And I obviously, you know, I want to tell a story that is personal, and he wants to be part of that collective. And so he auditioned for this, got an audition for this movie, and they cast him, and he is fan fucking tastic.
Yeah, he's really good.
That's not to mention too that, like, you know, James Hong is in this movie as well,
yeah,
who plays her dad, and mm-hmm, that guy's been in 1,000 fucking movies.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. He's the guy that, like, when you see his face, you're like, oh yeah, I've seen him a lot.
Yeah, he's in Big Trouble in Little China. He's in, yeah, he voices an act or voices a character in Kung Fu Panda. But yeah, he's fucking everywhere. You know, he's been, yeah, everywhere for the past 40 fucking or 50 years. Like,
yeah, right.
So highly recommend. I'm intentionally avoiding details because if you haven't seen it, it really is a movie that is full of joy and surprises.
Yeah.
So avoid spoilers as best you can. And yeah, go along for the ride.
I agree completely. I was enamored with that movie. I was beaming ear to ear from the start to the finish. I too was very surprised with how martial arts, kung fu heavy it was. Which was good. It was a good surprise. It wasn't a bad surprise. And just the inventiveness and the creativeness. You're like, man, this is such a good movie that's just different. You know, it's creative. It's not the, like you were mentioning, like, and look, everyone who listens knows I fucking love superhero movies. I love it. I'm in. I already have my Doctor Strange tickets. Fine. Great. But like, it's such a good change up from those movies where I know what I'm getting with the Doctor Stranges and the Spider-Mans and the Batmans and all those. And this is just new and different and creative, and I fucking love it. Love it, love it. So that's good. I'm glad that you brought that up, because I definitely saw that. I also, the Northman, I saw The Northman.
Yeah, I really want to see that, actually.
Yeah, Robert Eggers' latest. Yeah. And I'll keep it spoiler-free, though. It's kind of difficult to spoil, because it is kind of a strange watch, you know, an atmospheric
watch.
I know,
would have
surprise
guessed that from a
shocking
Robert Eggers movie.
Yeah, so Robert Eggers also did The Lighthouse with Robert Pattinson and Willem Dafoe, and then The Witch with Anya Taylor-Joy. Willem Dafoe and Anya Taylor-Joy are both in The Northman. And it was, you know, I intentionally kept myself very blind going into it. I didn't watch very many trailers. I saw enough of trailers to know that, like, okay, yeah, I want to see this, and then purposefully tried to keep the blinders on. And cinematography is beautiful. It is an interesting watch. It's a deep watch. It's hyper violent. I'm trying to remain vague because you haven't seen it and you want to watch it. The music is epic and awesome. I mean, just so much Viking, you know, chanting and song and throat singing of the, like, that type of shit. And it's just like, it's very, if you know Robert Eggers and you know his other movies like The Lighthouse, like The Witch, where it's like, is this a horror movie? No, but that's really unsettling. But this isn't horror, you know, it's really good. I thought the cast was really good. So yeah, I really enjoyed that. It was, I recommend seeing it in the best format you can, just because of the colors and the cinematography and, you know, seeing that, like, Icelandic and, you know, Nordic landscape is wonderful. And Stella and Skarsgård is just like, Alexander Skarsgård, is that the Skarsgård that's in this one? Yeah, because Stellan's the dad. the fad. I was going to say the fad. The father, the dad, it was the same thing, but the dad.
I thought you were going to say the fat guy from Dune, which would also be correct.
Also true, yes. See, right on all counts. And he's an absolute beast. I mean, like, he's just, you know, you look at him and you're like, wow, I need to go to the gym 8 times a day. That is unbelievable.
He's
very much recommend it, and know that going into it that it's a little unsettling. It is very atmospheric. If one has not seen an Eggers movie before,
I also wanted to bring up, just shout out a couple television shows that mm-hmm. I've really been enjoying. We are approaching another moment in television right now that is exquisite. There are some incredible television shows on right now, or that have just finished. I've talked about Severance at length on this pod. That show has finished its first season. It is one of the most intriguing things that I've watched in a very long time. They are making a second and probably third, but as of now, a second season of it. And it is a show that ends its first season knowing that there is a second season. So don't expect like a nice, clean, tidy wrap up of everything. Like, mm-hmm. I think that's useful to know going into the final episode. The final episode of the first season is also maybe single-handedly the best episode of television I've seen this decade.
Wow. Bold statement.
I mean, this decade's only been 3 years long, so pump the brakes. But
that's true. With the pandemic and everything, it feels like it's been like a full 20-year decade. Like,
So I highly, highly recommend Severance. That's on Apple TV Plus. Also on Apple TV Plus is Slow Horses, which I mentioned last month. I just started that. Very funny, delightful. Gary Oldman is in it, and is divine.
Great.
He is excellent. I've heard great things about Pachinko, which is on Apple TV Plus. I have not started that, but I'll just go to the things that I have on my list here. I've also started Outer Range. This is the show that is on Amazon with Josh Brolin and Tom Pelfrey, who plays Ben in Ozark season 3, mm-hmm. Laura Linney's brother. Mm-hmm. And the guy from Schitt's Creek that plays Patrick is also in this. Mm-hmm. As are a number of other actors. Imogen Poots is in it as well. And it is a... I have heard the show described as True Detective meets Yellowstone meets Twilight Zone.
Mm-hmm.
And though I haven't seen Yellowstone, I would concur. I've seen two episodes of this show so far. Josh Brolin's great in it. Another actor who I am very hit or miss on, but sometimes really, really fucking love. Mm-hmm. This character he's playing here is kind of if Llewellyn Moss from No Country for Old Men grew up even more.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's a home, you know, a rancher in rural Wyoming. I mean, that's an oxymoron. It's fucking Wyoming.
Fair.
But it's excellent, and it has some really great. There's a really great like sci-fi spine to it that asks a lot of questions but gives you very little answers, at least through the first two episodes. But you know, like all good shows, is focused on the interpersonal drama between the characters, and then these kind of larger questions loom over the show in a really, really interesting way. So that's on Amazon, and I find that show really, really compelling.
I've been wanting to watch that.
And then there are two shows on HBO that I've watched a bit of each. One is the Taika Waititi executive produced show Our Flag Means Death.
Yeah, I haven't watched that yet. This is so good.
Which is a story about a polite pirate captain.
Yeah. It's a true story.
It's a semi-true story, yeah.
Yeah.
Who was previously landed gentry and essentially bought a boat and was going to be a nice pirate, decided to be a nice pirate.
Yeah.
and he's got a ragtag bunch of inept pirates, as you would expect. The humor is very much of an ilk of you know, What We Do in the Shadows or Wellington Paranormal or any of the Taika Waititi styled shows. It probably could do with a little bit of you know, a lean harder into some of that if you're really looking for that. But I find the show pretty endearing, to be honest. It's a very easy watch, you know, infinitely consumable. And there are some really hearty laughs. Taika Waititi does come in as a supporting actor about, you know, two or three episodes into the season as well. Okay. So definitely stick around until he shows up, because once he shows up, it gets really funny.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's not a spoiler. He's on all of the marketing materials.
Yeah. 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 It's he's selling Blackbeard, the show. Right? Yes. Correct. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
And then, but he doesn't show up right away. And I urge people to stick around at least until he shows up, I think in episode three.
Okay.
And they're like 25 minute episodes. So,
yeah.
And then the last show that I want to bring up, though it is mired in a little bit of controversy, maybe not a little bit, a lot of controversy, is the Michael Mann produced show Tokyo Vice, with Ansel Elgort and Ken Watanabe. Obviously, Ansel Elgort is in the midst of, you know, it has allegations sexual against assault. Him for sexual assault. Yep. And so this is in no way any sort of, endorsement of him, in as a person or as, you know, anything like that. But the show itself is remarkably compelling. It's set in late 90s Tokyo. It has all of those like neon drenched wet road, tight alleyway, you know, night market vibes that you want. Mm-hmm.
It's everything Heat isn't.
I'm just gonna do a breakaway Michael Mann podcast. I'm just gonna
where it's gonna be you and Michael Mann.
Where yeah, and we just talk about Heat every week. yeah, good. But Tokyo Vice, Ken Watanabe is remarkable. The majority of the show is in Japanese, but they intersperse English quite a bit, as most characters speak both languages. The supporting cast is incredible, and there are really compelling action sequences. There's also like a lot of like, you know, Ansel Elgort's character is a journalist. He's the, you know, this is also based on a true story of the, you know, the first American journalist to work for the largest paper in Tokyo.
And crime paper, right? Or crime journalist.
Yeah, I mean. Right. He's on the crime beat, right? And it, you know, the show is exploring themes regarding not only like what is right and what is wrong, but also what is the role of the press in society? What is the role of police in society? How do those two very public service oriented entities interact, and to whom do they owe the truth, or is anybody owed the truth? And then also kind of like, what if you do go after the truth, what kind of ugly things are you about to reveal? And then there's also a lot of like drama and intrigue, because this show very much deals in close quarters with different Yakuza gangs. Yeah, I mean there's so much homage in this show to Scorsese, to, you know, Chinatown, to be clear, Roman Polanski's Chinatown, not like
New York City Chinatown.
Yeah, yeah. I understand this. I also understand this show is set in Japan, so just,
yeah.
Let's make that perfectly clear.
Yeah. All right, right.
But yeah, this show's great vibes, great supporting performances.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's what I've watched bits and pieces of all of those shows over the past month. And yeah, lots of great. This is also to say, like, Better Call Saul is also in its final season and is probably the best thing on television. I'm just really
I haven't
far
seen
behind.
An episode of that. Yeah. Well, I think I started watching it at some point and then life happened or whatever, and I never finished the first season, and I was already
and
four
by all accounts, the show only gets better as you get beyond the first season too.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. Yeah, we're It legitimately causes anxiety to me because I'm like, oh my God, there are so many things on my TV list that I don't have enough hours in my day to watch it all.
Yeah.
There's so much good
while
shit.
While I'm also trying to pull back on the number of hours that I'm spending in front of a screen too.
Right. Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
And, like, we also haven't even talked about, like, Barry just came back and,
Flight Attendant season two.
Flight Attendant just came back and, Russian Doll just came back.
Yeah. Stranger Things is coming back in May.
Yeah, right. Like Halo is on, yeah. And there's this other show on HBO called Minx. I think I brought up on this show, and Atlanta is back.
Yeah, Atlanta.
Right. After a 3-year hiatus, and then the Sam Esmail show with Julia Roberts is on. And
yeah, Gaslight. Yeah.
Gaslit.
Gaslit. Yeah.
And then the show about all of the former first ladies is on Hulu and
Showtime, so, I think.
Is it?
Well, yeah, either way. Doesn't matter. Yeah. Good news is a lot of those that you mentioned are 30-minute episodes that you can get through, like Barry and Russian Doll, Atlanta, Our Flag Means Death, you know. So that is good news there. Cool. Well, this has been fun. This is our last storyboard of our season 5. So thank you all for listening in. And we look forward to our con man movies, our con artist movies of the con artist May, con man May.
Solid.
So yeah, thanks again for everybody, and we look forward to our month of con artists, and we'll see you later or see you another time. Jobin. Did we, after 5 seasons, did we find our ending to that segment? Victory. Only took 150 episodes.
Join us for the following previews.
Chicago was the place to be in 1936. In those days, the big con was a dying art. Until a first-class grifter on the lam from the FBI and a young gaffer from Joliet joined forces to con the Big Mick.
He's not as tough as he thinks. Neither are we.
Paul Newman is Henry Gondorf. There wasn't a con he couldn't run. And there wasn't a sucker he couldn't gaff. Robert Redford is Johnny Hooker, a young grifter with plenty of moxie.
$3,000 on the red, Jimmy.
But he's a sucker for lady luck.
Tough luck, kid.
And a sap for lady love.
Pass the big evening, Hooker.
Honest, no,
next time you want to spend $50 on me, mail it.
Come on, will you?
Robert Shaw is the mark. In the underworld, he's the Big Mick.
Name's Lonergan. Doyle Lonergan.
It starts with the setup.
You owe me $15,000, pal.
Then you bait the hook.
Your boss is quite a card player, Mr. Kelly. How does he do it?
He cheats.
You play him on the wire.
The wire's been out of date for 10 years.
That's why he won't know it.
Now he's ready for the sting. Paul Newman and Robert Redford. This time, they might get away with it.
Would you like to tell me what's been bothering you?
No, I don't like being outdoors.
Tell me you've left the house in 3 days.
Mm. 1, 2, 3.
Have you eaten anything in 3 days?
Mm-hmm.
Besides canned tuna?
Mm-mm.
Anything else?
Obviously, I have a lot of ticks.
Have these distractions affected you workably? What would you do if you had to change careers?
What, if I wasn't an antiques broker?
If you weren't a criminal.
This is Dr. Klein. I just got off the phone with Angela, your daughter. She says she really wants to meet you.
Remember me?
All of a sudden, I have a daughter.
Someone's in here!
Now you have to set an example for someone else.
Beer.
Cheers.
Just try to be as honest and open with them as possible.
Right.
You're a con man?
Con artist.
And that guy, Frank?
He's my partner.
Teach me something.
Rule number one, never work near where you live.
Don't.
Rule number two, don't write anything down.
You regret it, exposing her to that?
Well, you know, it was a little, it made me feel a little, you know, I really liked it. How much do you think we can take that guy for?
$30,000.
more.
Come on, I'm 21!
This 14-year-old girl working these people with me.
My dad's a smooth operator.
I'm not very good at being a dad. I barely get by being me.
You good to go?
Is a po-po in the woods?
Just say yes, okay? There's one last thing.
What?
I want you to give the money back.
This is so... You think crime doesn't pay?
No, it does. It does, just not very well.
Welcome to Miami Mutual Bank. How may I help you?
I'd like to cash this check here and then... And I'd like to take you out for a steak dinner.
Are you a real live pilot?
I sure am, little lady.
The jump seat is open.
It's been a while since I've done this. Which one's the jump seat again?
Dr. Connors to the EO. Dr. Connors to the EO.
This is irrefutable evidence that the defendant is lying.
Special Agent Hanratty, FBI.
Hello, Carl.
You're gonna get caught. It's like Vegas. The house always wins.
Some nuts flying around the country posing as a pilot.
Call him the James Bond of the sky.
Hello, pusher.
This is by far the best date I have ever been on.
He's a kid. That's why he doesn't have a record.
30 milligrams of codeine every 4 hours. Do you concur?
I concur.
Dr. Harris.
Yes?
Do you concur?
Concur with what, sir?
Ma'am, I'm sorry to have to tell you, your son is fudging checks.
I have a payroll check here I'd like to cash.
I'm working part-time at the church now. Just tell me how much yours and I'll pay you back.
$1.3 million.
I'll be choosing 8 young ladies to be a part of Pan Am's future stewardess program.
South America, Australia, Singapore. These are so perfect, the bankers even know the difference.
What do you want?
To apologize.
You didn't call to apologize, did you? You have no one else to call. I'm looking for your son.
I would never give up my son. If you were a father, you'd know.
Stop chasing me.
I can't stop. It's my job.
You see these people staring at you? They keep peeking over their shoulders, wondering where you're going tonight. Where you going, Frank?
Don't tell me not to fly. I've simply got to. If someone takes a spill, it's me and not you. Don't bring around a cloud of terrain on my parade.
Sir, we're gonna let him get away.
No, Carl, you let him get away.
Nobody had a better brain on my
Merry Christmas!
Parade.
I'm getting close, huh? You will go to prison.
You're gonna have to catch me.
Thanks, everybody, for joining us for our last storyboard of the season. If you remember way back at the beginning of this episode, I told you that we're going to release 3 movies this month in our Con Man or Con Movie Madness Month.
Of May.
those movies are coming out on the 16th of March.
Nope. Take 2.
16th of May.
I liked the conviction, though.
Oh, who the fuck cares? yes, coming out on the 16th of May, that will be 1973's The Sting, which is a movie I'm very excited. Won 7 Oscars that season or that year. Wow.
I have not seen it, so I'm excited to...
Yeah, Robert Redford, Paul Newman, all-time classic movie.
Hell yeah.
There we go. Then on the 23rd of May, we're jumping back into one of our patron saints of this podcast, Nicolas Cage, with Matchstick Men, also starring Sam Rockwell, 2003's Ridley Scott con man movie. And then on the 30th of May, that is Memorial Day, we're jumping into a Steven Spielberg flick, 2002's Catch Me If You Can, starring Tom Hanks and Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah, baby. I'm looking forward to that. You can find all of that information and more on our Facebook and Instagram page at Movies in the Buff, Twitter at Buff Movies. You can email us watchingmoviesinthebuff@gmail.com. Please rate, review, subscribe. We look forward to ending our season 5 with our Con Movie Man May March movies. And I think that's all I got. Well, Humphrey, for the last time in the season 5.
Take it to the baby town.
Hilda, I'm no good at being noble, but it doesn't take much to see that the problems of three little people don't amount to a hill of beans in this crazy world. Someday you'll understand that. Now, now. He's looking at you, kid.